Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. We have quite an exciting show for you today, and we're going to jump right in. But first, and I do this every week, I take the opportunity of introducing our producer. Kevin Finn is a master at the control board, and Kevin is also a very accomplished host, hosting a number of shows on Business Radio X, and he makes sure we stay on track and handles the boards and the call-ins and this, that, and the other. So, Kevin, it's great to be with you again this week.
It's always a pleasure, Ricky.
Well, if you have any ideas or suggestions or anything along the way, please jump in. We'd love to have your expertise.
Definitely.
As I said, I'm very excited about today's show on multiple levels. We have a studio filled with great friends of mine, some old, some brand new. We're going to discuss the recent Tag Arcetti Twitter tournament. Many people that have followed me, either by Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or from my blog, know a great deal about since I was kind of passionate about it for about 3 or 4 weeks. But we're going to talk about the Twitter tournament. Why was there a tournament? What was accomplished as a part of the tournament? What was the goal when it was all said and done? And we're going to dig into that. And we actually have a number of the contestants from the tournament, and we're going to talk to them as well. As most folks know, our goal for Booth 61 is to build community. It is our passionate desire to allow the rising tide to lift all the boats. No one builds the Georgia technology community more than TAG. I was very honored back in, I guess it was 98 or 99. I was actually hired by Women in Technology, Southeastern Software, and Business Executive Technology Alliance to work on a study. And that study led to a white paper, which actually led to the creation of TAG. And I've been a very huge supporter since the beginning. And Tino Mantella is doing an unbelievable job. And we have a much prettier version of Tino with us today and someone who I am very, very fond of. Today's guests are part of TAG, Arcetti, Mercer University, and one of Atlanta's hottest companies, AirWatch. And perhaps we may even have a celebrity from WXIA Television if she's able to join us today. I'm going to briefly introduce our panel. And then I'm going to encourage each of you to visit LinkedIn for a more detailed biography on each of these accomplished individuals. To begin, Melanie Brand, as I mentioned earlier, Melanie is the Chief Operating Officer at TAG, the Technology Association of Georgia. I've had the privilege of knowing Melanie for many, many years during her first stint at TAG and later as a senior executive with the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce. Melanie has been back with TAG since, I think, December of 2009, and we are not going to allow her to leave again under any set of circumstances. Welcome to Booth 61, Melanie.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's very exciting to have you in here. Mike Neumeier, I will introduce next because he is one sorry individual. And I can say that because he is a graduate of the number one rival of the University of Georgia, and that's the Florida Gators. Mike is a Gator through and through. Now, a lot of people think to the University of Georgia, Georgia Tech is the biggest number one rival. But we don't even consider Tech even a rival because we beat them to death just about every single fall. But we never can beat Florida. Florida's a great school, both academically but also sports as well. In all seriousness, Mike Neumeier is a dear friend of mine, and he's an outstanding community leader.
They're going to send out another bridge.
Mike is one of the founders of the Arcetti Group, which is Atlanta's and probably the South's premier integrated marketing consulting agencies, serving many of our successful technology companies and in other industries as well. And I'm very excited about having Mike in Booth 61. Welcome, brother.
Well, thank you for having a Gator on. And with your intro there, I don't think I've been called a mover and a shaker since when Gene's Body Tech was still open. So his body hasn't moved and shaked in a long time.
I was going to say, people think Tino's pretty, too, I've heard.
Well, you know, Tino does. That's for sure. Next, I want to introduce Mallory Springfield. Mallory is a new friend of mine. As a matter of fact, we just became Facebook friends today. And once you do that, it's marriage next or something. So you got to move to another level at least. Mallory is with one of Atlanta's fastest growing and most successful and exciting companies, AirWatch. Mallory's also a 2012 graduate from one of my favorite places in the city of Atlanta, Kennesaw State University. As everyone knows, KSU is a real asset to our community, and very proud to have her here with us today. Justin Grimsley is also along from AirWatch, and he's in the public relations area as well. And Justin may jump in at some point and help us along in the conversation. Mallory is also an active volunteer at the Humane Society and Meals on Wheels. And I just love anyone that's involved in the community activities and is a contributor. So thanks for serving our community, and welcome to Booth 61, Mallory.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, very glad you're here. My next guest is calling in from the great city of Macon, Georgia, birthplace of the living legend, a great Otis Redding, Little Richard, the Allman Brothers, and my high school drama teacher, who is also known worldwide as Mr. Double Talk, Durwood Fincher. Many of you may have heard Durwood at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Vanderhoek is the Director of Public Relations and Social Media at Mercer University, and Mark is Mercer to the core. Mark received his MBA at Mercer in 2008 and has worked there for the past 7 years. Welcome to Booth 61, Mark. It's an honor to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we wish you could be here with us, but we know that you've got a lot of stuff going on in the great city of Macon. We're going to dig into the recent Twitter competition and, most importantly, the State of the Technology Industry report that is really the focal point of why there was a Twitter tournament. And I want to begin the conversation with Melanie. Melanie is Chief Operating Officer of TAG, and it was TAG and Arcetti and Mike that really put together the whole, not only the only event, but also the distribution of the information to the community. We're going to lay the foundation, and then we're going to spend some time talking to Mallory and Mark about their experience as contestants in the Twitter tournament. So let's start with Melanie. Melanie, what, in your opinion, are the most impressive findings from the recent technology tweet tournament?
Well, I think the most important thing, the most interesting thing for me at least, was just how into it the community got and how excited folks got about it, how competitive some of the people in the technology industry are, and particularly when it comes to promoting the community and the industry. We were just so pleased. This is the second year we've done it, and we've just been so pleased with the enthusiasm that the folks participating have brought to it.
The State of the Industry report revealed that Georgia's technology sector generated nearly 16,000 jobs over the past 2 years.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, the entire report is jam-packed full of wonderful information and helpful information. Technology jobs really attributed 20% of all the new jobs created in our state over the last 2 years. Where is TAG seeing that growth coming from, Melanie?
Well, TAG talks about something called the Where Georgia Leads Industries, and those include health IT, financial technology, information security, certainly mobility, mission critical facilities, interactive marketing agencies. It's a pretty broad group of sectors that comprise the Where Georgia Leads Industries, and we're seeing it all across the board. Companies, AirWatch, their expansion here has been a tremendous boon. Baxter announced a relocation to Georgia. We have a tremendous amount of companies that just continue to either expand here, move here, or grow organically here, and that is what is causing this growth.
I know TAG's very active with the chamber and also with the state agencies in helping entice companies to move to Georgia and local companies to expand. Could you give us a little background on kind of how you're coordinating between the three agencies?
Sure. Well, there's a number of chambers that are doing an amazing job doing economic development. Certainly the Metro Atlanta Chamber is I would say they're on the forefront, and they're certainly doing a lot with the state. We don't get involved in the recruiting business as much. They're really on the forefront of going to the trade shows, making those contacts, making the introductions, and luring the companies here. We consider ourselves sort of the force behind them. So we try to supply them with the information that they need in order to make the best possible case. The fact that Georgia has the leading technology industry association right here in its backyard, we think, is another thing that helps companies companies know that when they do get to Georgia, there's going to be a home for them. There's going to be a way for them to get connected. I was at an event just the other night launching one of our new societies, the Retail Technology Society, and AirWatch hosted that for us because they're so involved in that sector. And AirWatch, the folks at AirWatch, certainly the leadership, but also the employees there were just saying how well the TAG has helped them get ingratiated into this community, how helpful TAG has been in helping them fulfill their mission and get all those people. So it's really a lot of working together.
You know, as you were sharing that information, I was thinking there may be some folks that are either listening right now or will download this in the next day or two who don't really know a lot about TAG. You know, Technology Association of Georgia is now 14-year-old organization. Mm-hmm. Started out with three smaller associations merging. Mm-hmm. What does TAG look like today?
Well, so we have over 20,000 members. Those
wow.
are individuals. We have over, I want to say we're about 236, I think, at last count, premier member companies. So those are companies, Coca-Cola, AirWatch, McKesson, that have joined TAG with a large enough membership to comprise all of their employees. So basically they've made a big enough investment in TAG that all of their employees are now eligible to be members of TAG. We have 32 societies or special interest groups ranging from the functional ones to the industry ones. We have an HR group, a recruiting group, a mobility group. Retail technology is the newest. We'll be launching a programmers group later on this year. So we're really an umbrella organization for a lot of different smaller groups, but each of which are really entities in and of themselves. They have monthly events. They've got sponsors. They've got board leaders, leadership opportunities, volunteer opportunities. So it's becoming a pretty big animal.
But once you're a member of TAG, there are just so many events that are available, absolutely no cost whatsoever.
Yes, a lot of them, once you're a member of TAG, all of the events go, you get a discounted rate, and a lot of times you're right, they're absolutely free. And the mission is to grow and promote and influence and connect the technology industry. So we provide a lot of different watering holes, ways for people to interact with one another. I've said before, you know, if you're a woman who works in the HR department at McKesson, you don't need to decide, do I join a women's group, do I join an HR group, or do I join a health IT group. You just join TAG, and then you go to whatever events make sense for you on that day. You'll meet people from other industries. You'll meet people in other functions, and it's really that cross-networking that I think is the secret sauce that makes TAG so successful and so valuable in the community.
I think the other secret sauce may have been what you mentioned a little earlier, the watering hole concept, because I know a lot of the events are around a watering hole, a local establishment where adult beverages may be served from
time to
time.
Yes, sir. I think there were some of those at the AirWatch event, if I recall correctly.
There was.
No question about it. In 2012, companies announced an estimated $2.7 billion in strategic investments earmarked for new headquarters, research centers. We all know about the data centers that are being built on the north side of the community, production facilities, and the promise of adding an estimated 8,000 jobs over the next 3 to 5 years. Where do you see Georgia's technology sector in the next 5 years, Melanie?
Well, TAG's goal is to make Georgia one of the top 5 technology states. Right now, we're ranked about 13 in terms of technology jobs, but we see that growing. We hear consistently, and AirWatch has been on the forefront of telling that story, that companies come to Georgia because of the talent, the amazing talents that's here. NCR, when they moved here, that was the first thing that they said as well. So we see, it seems like green pastures to us. We think that there are a couple things that we need to work on. Certainly, we want to infuse more venture capital into the environment, but companies are investing in themselves. The number that you read, Baxter coming here with 1,500 jobs and $800 million investment. Carter's made a big investment. Assurant. There's just a lot of companies that are investing in Georgia.
I'd like to put a personal appeal out to anyone listening from another state. Please move to Georgia. Hunter Technical Resources, as I mentioned earlier, is Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm and is very honored to serve many great companies like AirWatch, NCR, and others in the community. Technology unemployment, or national unemployment, state unemployment is 7.8%, 8%, or whatever the case might be. Technology is 2%.
Yes, sir.
And in certain job sectors like .NET developer, Java, anything in mobile, it's a negative number. We have three openings for every person that's out there. So if you were in another part of the community or country and you want a great opportunity in technology or you're thinking about changing situations, now would be a great time to move to Georgia and work with us or work with TAG directly or any of the other firms that do what we do for a living. There are great opportunities in Georgia right now if you're looking to change careers or be involved in technology. Tell me a little bit about what's the history between the TAG State of the Industry report and why it's so important. I dug into it and spent the better part of 3 hours because I love the VC information. I love the investments. There's so much great information. But historically, how did that get put together and how are you using it?
Sure. Well, you know, TAG has evolved. We're a membership organization, and we have over 230 events a year. But membership and events, after a while, you know, I think we've done a great job of sort of owning that space. We get phone calls, or at the time when we first came up with the idea for the State of the Industry Report, and I think it was maybe 7 years ago, I was a director at TAG at the time, we were getting phone calls on a regular basis from the media, from folks in the community, from business leaders considering moving their company to Georgia, wanting certain industry facts. And we just didn't have them at our fingertips. Some of them were available at the census. Some of them were available at the Bureau of Labor. Some of them are partners that the chambers had or the Department of Economic Development had. But there wasn't a place where folks could go and get the entire picture. So we went on a mission to get that information and put it all in one place. And frankly, it's not a marketing piece. It is the good, bad, and the ugly. Now, we're fortunate in that there's a lot more good than there is anything else. But there's information in there that we use as call to action, both in the community and at the Capitol as well. But so we started with that. And then we also added a primary research component because, again, we've got such a great knowledge base at TAG. We've a 66-person board, just a lot of really smart people that are stakeholders. And so we started asking them questions, you know, what do your hiring needs look like in the next 5 years? What are the hardest positions to fill? How would you rate the quality of life in Georgia? So in addition to the secondary information that we've compiled, there's also we're establishing a repository of primary information as well, where you can't get that information anywhere else but the State of the Industry Report.
And Melanie, we've been partnering with you at Arketti over the past few years to help present it. And really, Tino and John Yates and some other folks challenged us to really come up with an interesting format for it this year. Over the past, I guess, 10 years almost now, we've moved from a paper format that used to throw down on someone's desk to a website to this year, you know, what I commonly refer to as a wicked cool app-like website that lets you build your own experience in the data and keep it for folks that are interested in coming back to the data. But it's a real fun way. I'm not surprised you spent 3 hours on it last night. It's a fun way to dig through the information, use the widgets, and see what it's all about. And it's important as members of our technology community that we know this information. Mm-hmm. We tend to be myopic sometime and only know mobility if we're in mobility or interactive if we're in interactive. And we need to realize the depth and breadth of our community here as far as a technology community, because I think we're pretty much second to none.
Absolutely. And I can't state enough how valuable the Arketti partnership has been to TAG. You guys, Arketti has been a great partner of TAG's in general. And when we did, and actually I think Arketti actually initiated saying, we need to present this in a little bit more of a modern way. And we didn't even really know what we didn't know, but you guys have taken the ball and run with it. And the feedback that we get now, you can access it on any device. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in just the good things about Georgia, you can sort it in a bunch of different ways. Sometimes at TAG, we're not always on the leading edge of technology, which is a nonprofit organization. We're conservative in that regard. But the State of the Industry, I would say, is one exception where we really are out there and it's as cool of a tool as anything else you'll find.
That's really a great segue to Mike. I really wanted to get into the app, and I know that that was really a joint venture or collaboration between Arketti. Accounting firm, great bunch of guys, but Arketti and TAG, and where would somebody find that? How would they access it now that the tournament's over and we're not tweeting about it every 4 or 5 seconds?
It's tagstateoftheindustry.com.
And you can go there and pull out any of this information, use the app, and have some fun with it.
On any device. You can go on your iPad right now.
Yeah. You can tweet right from it.
That's right.
Well, that is great. And, Mike, I, again, want to just not only thank you for being here, but thank you for what Arcetti does in the community, not only what you do for TAG, but I know you do an equal amount, if not more, for certainly for TechBridge and the upcoming Digital Ball and what you're doing for High Tech Ministries, and I'm sure there's a long list of other organizations I'm not even familiar with that y'all are contributing to. And,
well, you know, Ricky, you have to feed and care your community, right? And then the community will take care of you. So we're big believers in that, and we're big believers in leading the charge in technology. You know, we've doubled down on technology. It's all we do all the time. And we want the best technology environment we have out there. And I think that really Atlanta is right there with everyone else.
Well, as kind of the co-creator of the tournament, mm-hmm. give us your take on the tournament. Talk about the tournament and kind of this is the second or third year.
Yeah, this is the second year. Like all good ideas, I think we were maybe drinking when we came up with it, quite possibly. And the challenge was how do we promote? Last year we were looking to promote a new video about Georgia's state of technology and how do we get it to be viewed as many people as we can. And during the brainstorm, somebody came up with this tournament idea. And it was timely because the Final Four our semifinals were happening last year. Lots of buzz in Atlanta because we were getting the Final Four. And we said, well, let's create a bracket-type game, and that's how the Technology Tweet Tournament came about. We had great success with it last year. It came down to the juggernauts of Georgia Tech versus University of Georgia, and University of Georgia was triumphant among all the technology elite at Georgia Tech. And we decided this year, well, we definitely had to do it again this year because we were the host city for the Final Four and for the NCAA tournament. So it was our own homage, I guess, if you will, to John Yates, and lucky enough to have Ashley Beyondich in my office, who basically is our chairman and has run it. I'm honorary chairman, I guess, and she makes sure it happened day in and day out. But at the end of the day, besides the fun, and hopefully the contestants think it was fun, although there were a few tight matches and a few emails into the referees about the photo finishes, it is about getting the word out about Georgia and our technology scene here. We did a tally this morning, and our hashtag of Where Georgia Leads or Where GA Leads reached 1.48 million folks on Twitter, which is great. We drove a huge number of views of the report. I think we're sitting at about 3,000 that we can attribute just to the tournament itself. And I think we had some fun along the way. So that's really what it's about and why we did it.
Well, that is fantastic. From your aspect, and certainly back to Melanie, are you happy with the results? As far, I mean, 1.48 million people on Twitter to see this hashtag is just, to me, remarkable. And that's a lot of eyeballs.
It's a lot of eyeballs, and we hope it'll translate into a lot of interest here within the state and about the state. And one of the audiences, and I know we'll talk to Mercer later on, we're very interested in students, very interested in university students trying to affect the type of degrees they might be looking at, and trying to keep that talent here in Georgia. We don't want to educate folks quite selfishly in our great universities and then send them to the Bay Area or up to Boston or out to Austin. We want to keep that technology talent right here. We've got a great cost of living and a wonderful environment once you get through the pollen season. So those are, you know, very important to us and key to us, and I think those are good measures that we're reaching those types of folks.
Yeah, we couldn't be happier. It was a great idea. It was well executed and fantastic results. So as chief operating officer, I get that. That's good for me.
Well, there was a lot of buzz. I had numerous emails during the competition. One, leave me alone. Don't bother me anymore. I'm blocked by most of my friends now going forward. But a few people, a dear friend, Jeff McConnell, actually sent, he said, this is better than two or three of the games that I've watched so far in the Sweet 16. Said this, watching this, he said, I'm refreshing my computer every few seconds. It's better than watching the ball games on television. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
There were some bloody tournaments there, and I will tell you, I can't reveal all because, you know, the official seeding of how it works and what brackets you're put in is a very confidential thing. But it's no surprise for those that know Ricky, he actually did win, which was a surprise, I've been told, by the seeding commission. They really saw you as the Cinderella in the competition. Your early round, you were up against Giga Ohm, a huge media conglomerate based out of the West Coast that we got to participate in, and you just smashed them and kept smashing right through. I mean, it was, you know, incredible.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Obnoxious might be a better word that some people may want to choose to use.
You're competitive.
I am competitive. I don't stick something in front of my face and say it's a contest because my kids are still trying to win their first game of Monopoly. I beat them when they were 5. I beat them when they were 10. I beat them when they're 30. Mike, from your area of expertise at Arketti, how are social media competitions such as the technology tweet tournament helpful in driving engagement and awareness? And obviously it has with this 1.48 million sets of eyeballs looking at this. Kind of, you know, talk from your professional aspect, kind of what you were thinking about and how this might be a good thing for other industry organizations as well as companies to engage in something like this.
Well, you can't ignore Twitter. And you can't ignore social media these days. I mean, I think everyone probably that's sitting around this table, you know, whether you're on a lake fishing or sitting in front of your TV or working out on the treadmill, you know, that cell phone is in front of you and you're tempted to just take a look at Facebook or take a look at Twitter and see what's going on. And those micro media impressions are important. I mean, we learned yesterday when the stock market dropped 100 points because AP was hacked into and there was a false report about some terrorism activity in D.C., that these things do matter and they can drive attention. They can drive eyeballs, and we drove both of them. The next step is, can they drive the engagement and the follow through? And I think to some regard that's still a little bit of a question mark in some areas, but we're getting much more scientific at that. And when we do things like drive folks to a website, we can then track what they're doing and what they're looking at in a non-spooky kind of way, and start to derive some value out of it. But we do tell our clients all the time, it's just a channel. You know, social media is a channel. It's a strategy or really a tactic. It is not a big strategy out there. It won't be all of your communication strategy, but it's something you definitely want to take a look at. And Atlanta's got a growing ecosystem in that area of interactive agencies. Mm-hmm. Melanie talked about the clusters here, some really great interactive firms, some really great interactive tools being created here in Atlanta that I think that we're going to continue to see innovative ideas like this. I mean, Vitru alone, which was purchased by Oracle last year. I know Reggie is being honored by MIT Enterprise Forum of Atlanta at their upcoming gala as the Entrepreneur of the Year, I believe. Started as a social media company. And then here you have a pardon the phrase, old school ERP company that comes in and wants it. So I think we're going to see more of that.
Quite exciting. Well, now that most of us spend most of our time staring into our palms as we are tweeting and sending messages, I think it's caused an immediate spike in growth in sales of the hair plug industry because now we're only seeing the top of people's heads and we all want to look good no matter what angle we're being viewed from.
You bet.
Let's move over to AirWatch. I had the privilege of hearing Mr. Alan DeBerry about 3 weeks ago at the Chamber, and just being in his presence is kind of, he's a charismatic individual and someone quite brilliant. Many people know the story of Manhattan Associates coming in on a weekend move from Manhattan Beach, California, to Atlanta, and what a great win that was for the city of Atlanta. AirWatch recently has been the poster child for mobile explosion happening all over the state of Georgia. I'm going to start with Mallory and kind of give us your feelings and kind of share with us what AirWatch does as a company and then how you're moving through this tremendous growth.
Okay. Well, at AirWatch, basically, we simplify enterprise mobility. You know, we help businesses secure smartphones and tablets as well as manage the content and the application on those devices. So we actually got started about 10 years ago as a Wi-Fi business. So if you had ever been to Panera, Chick-fil-A, and if you connected to the Wi-Fi, that was actually through the AirWatch portal you were using. So, you know, we stemmed from that, and we've really just grown into the largest enterprise mobility management. I think we are at 1,200 employees now with 6,500 customers worldwide.
1,200 employees already with 6,500 customers. That is fantastic. You've announced tremendous growth plans for the company, and I guess this is all part of that. Mm-hmm. I can only assume that this certainly means the company believes in Georgia's technology strength and our ability to support the mobile technology cluster. What are you doing to help ensure Georgia is able to handle your growth? And I'm sure employment and, you know, you use firms like Hunter Technical Resources and others to help augment what your HR department is doing. But mm-hmm. Are you helping us find some folks from other places and bringing them into Georgia?
Absolutely. We really showcase that by bringing in clients that are global brand names, by bringing them into the Atlanta area and help them get coverage in this, you know, in the Atlanta area, as well as recruiting from Georgia education systems. We are actively involved with Georgia Tech and Emory and UGA, and so by bringing those together, we really help, you know, ensure Georgia's ability to handle that growth in this mobile sector.
What all is AirWatch doing to contribute to this emergence as a center for mobility projects? You're bringing your customers actually into Georgia and showcasing what you're doing here?
Yes, through events and partnerships. We're just actively out in Atlanta speaking about our engagements, and our partners and clients are very visible with us throughout the area and what we do.
Well, it's a great privilege to be here with you, but to see the growth and see what y'all are doing as a company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's attributed to the entire environment, what the city of Atlanta is all about, what mm-hmm. our community is all about, and what the state's all about. And the fact that y'all are here, we're just quite excited about it and want to continue to see you grow. And, you know, eventually you'll be a public company, I would assume, mm-hmm. and we'll see where we go from there. But thank you very, very much. And it was fun to be in the Twitter competition with you, and we're going to get into some of that a little bit more in just a minute. But now I want to go to Macon, Georgia. How's everything going down in Macon, Mark?
Really well, really well. It's a busy time of year for us, but we're very excited to be busy. It's a great, great adventure to be down here and to be in Atlanta. We're have a big presence in Atlanta as well.
Well, you were one tough competitor. You stayed involved in this thing from start to finish, and that last 2 hours, two Fridays ago, just about got the best of me, and I assume you must have worked all kinds of hours of the day and night.
We did. We're, I guess part of the reason we got into this was that it was fun and it was a cool thing to be a part of, but also, you know, we do have a little bit of a competitive streak. You always want to represent your brand well and want to make that a part of the conversation, especially in Atlanta. So, yeah, we were – it was fast and furious there for – especially the last 2 hours.
When I saw the Macon Convention and Visitors Bureau posting information on their site as well as tweeting about it, I thought, man, it's probably over with now, because I love the Macon Bureau, and I've known Peggy and a lot of those folks down there for many, many years. Great people, great people. Many people are not as aware of Mercer, perhaps, as I am, having grown up in Columbus, Georgia, and having known Mercer starting in Macon, but now you got campuses all over everywhere. Other people may not know as much about Mercer and the tremendous growth y'all have had over the past decade. Please give us a quick overview of everything going on at Mercer today, if you would, Mark.
All right. You know, I think one of the things that was interesting going back to this, because I've been at Mercer for 7 years, but if you go back 10 years, I kind of realized why I was getting onto a speeding treadmill when I got here 7 years ago, because we've been, you know, growing astronomically. You know, we started 10 years ago. If you look back 10 years ago, we had 9 schools and colleges. We've since added 2 more colleges, and we're about to add a 12th college. So that's just on the organizational side. We've also had, you know, more than 1,000 students in enrollment. We're now over 8,300. I think pretty much every fall we write the record enrollment growth story, trying to find new ways to tell that. But we've added dozens of degree programs. 10 years ago, we had one PhD program in pharmaceutical sciences, and now we have seven. So we're building up that research base as well. Now we have over close to $34 million in National Science Foundation grants. So that's spread also all over the state. We have a huge presence in Atlanta. Health Sciences Center is centered there. That's a new organization that's over all of our healthcare schools that helps us to integrate what the students are learning in those programs there, but also expand those programs throughout the state. So, you know, whereas we might have a public health program in Macon, now we can expand it to Atlanta. And you mentioned Columbus. In addition to adding Savannah as a campus in the last decade, with our second medical school campus, we've now begun the process of doing that in Columbus as well. We started last year with 15 medical students, and they are in their third and fourth year, and that's in addition to Macon's campus and Savannah's campus, and that's aside from all of our regional academic centers. We have five regional academic centers as well. So we are all over the state and engaged in research and technology. And not last but not least in Macon, where we have our engineering school, which is only 25 years old but has grown steadily and is a big part of the technology scene down here. And as well in Atlanta, we have a lot of our graduates that go up to Atlanta as well.
Well, as I was doing a little competitive research before we got into the final contest, I was blown away with the numbers of people that have been through or currently in Mercer today. And this is by memory, but it seemed to me to be actively now somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,700 active employees, administrators, teachers, faculty, et cetera, et cetera. Is that number close to accurate?
That is correct. That is correct. We have 1,800 employees now.
1,800? Mm-hmm. And it seemed like the student body was 7,000, 8,000, somewhere in that neighborhood?
8,341, I think, at the last count.
And the number that scared me to death was 50,000-plus alumni.
I would say it's closer to 60,000.
60,000.
Many of them are still in Georgia. We have a huge presence in Georgia in terms of our alumni base. A lot of our graduates are from Georgia and stay in Georgia after. So promoting technology, especially technology firms that keep our graduates in Georgia, is a big part of what we were doing in participating in the tournament. And in participating in TAG as well.
Quite impressive. More than 73% of recent respondents from TAG's survey said that Georgia's universities and colleges were a strength of our state and a leading reason for conducting technology-related business here. A lot of people over on North Avenue where the trade school is located think that's the only technology or engineering school in the state of Georgia, yet we know that not to be the case. Tell me a little bit about Mercer's efforts to educate Georgia's technologists of tomorrow.
Well, we some time ago had an ad campaign that talked about Georgia's other engineering school, and that certainly engineering is a big part of what we do in the technology world. You know, we have engineering programs and you know, from biotechnology to industrial engineering, and many of them stay here in Middle Georgia. One of the largest, if not the largest, industrial complex in Georgia is Robins Air Force Base, and that was a big part of how our engineering school got started. We were they were looking at a shortage of engineers for all the depot work that they do there, and Mercer worked with Robins to start an engineering school, and now we're each year, we're the largest number of engineers that they hire into the base. And then we also have numerous graduates that go into the Atlanta market as well. So we have our engineering schools. We also, one of the things we mentioned in our tweets was the Center for Collaborative Journalism. That's another part of, that's a new program that we're doing in journalism, but it's about integrating technology into the teaching of journalism and also into having our students practice in journalism, and that's down here in Macon as well, but I'm certain we'll have knock-on impact into Atlanta as we go forward as our graduates graduate, and some of them go on to, say, those interactive agencies or into the media groups that are up there. So in addition to that, we have healthcare. Healthcare is one of our biggest areas, as I was mentioning, our health sciences center, and that's actually headquartered in Atlanta. We have our pharmacy school. We do a lot of research in nanotechnology, delivery of drugs, skin delivery of drugs, and in addition to educating pharmacists and PhDs that go on to do research in pharmacy. So lots of things going on, as well as around Atlanta. We have informatics as one of our degree programs that we just added. That's, as everyone knows, dealing with big data. That's a big data degree that we've added in Atlanta, Henry County, and in Macon. And so we are all over the place and in many different areas of technology, not just the ones you traditionally think of.
Well, thank you for that, Mark. That's quite exciting. And, you know, to know what's going on not only in Macon, but how you're contributing to the overall technology community. We're talking about science and engineering, and, of course, this is a technology-type program, radio program. So latest statistics say that 33.5% of all degrees conferred in Georgia, according to the National Science Foundation, is in the technology or engineering area, and that's well above the national average of 32.1%. You've briefly given us a little information, but what is Mercer doing to contribute to these numbers? Could you expand upon that a little bit?
Well, I think,
both with Warner Robins, what you're doing at Warner Robins and at the other campuses.
As I said, I think a big part of, if you look at sciences especially, our most popular degrees here in Macon are biology and chemistry, and we do a lot of research related to that, but also graduate a lot of our students into, you know, whether they're going into technology or into medicine or one of the health-related fields. And I think engineering, you know, as I said, we graduate engineers here in Macon to go off to many different areas, especially in Warner Robins. But I think the best example of that is our health sciences area. We have nursing, we have pharmacy, we have medicine, and we have all of the associated schools. And those are all going to be organized under our new College of Health Professions that will be headquartered in Atlanta as well. So science and engineering is a big part of what we do, and, you know, we started with a liberal arts base, but especially as we've tried to help work with the needs of Georgia, whether it's, you know, educating rural doctors through our School of Medicine that we started, or whether it's, you know, having your neighborhood, educating your neighborhood pharmacist, as we added programs to help meet the needs of our communities. A lot of those that we've added have been science and engineering, so we are no stranger to that, and hopefully a big part of the growth in what's happening in degrees converted in Georgia for that.
Mark, one thing I've been involved in most of my career is entrepreneurism, having started a number of companies and consulted with emerging growth companies. What's Mercer doing to grow the state entrepreneurial community?
Well, I think one of the things that we do is our business school is very involved in, whether it's, we do a lot of part-time MBA programs that are ideal for entrepreneurs, whether they're aspiring or practicing entrepreneurs. And so our Atlanta Executive MBA program, our professional MBA programs in Atlanta, Savannah, and Macon, and then our part-time MBA programs in Macon and Atlanta are what you think of as the traditional entrepreneurship avenues, and we do a lot of that. We also have the Kern Entrepreneurship Education Network has a program that helps our engineering students learn to be entrepreneurs. As I mentioned before, we also have the Center for Collaborative Journalism, and they are, one of their hires is an entrepreneur in residence, and they're going to be helping nurture his company, Ground Source, which is a startup that's looking at ways to connect through mobile journalists to their sources. So that's, you know, that's a direct support. And then we also have, through our College Hill Alliance, which is a grant-funded program by the Knight Foundation, and is helping to redevelop the areas in Macon around the campus. They've actually gotten a grant to partner with Jumpstart Inc., which is a company out of Northeast Ohio that's worked to build an entrepreneur network and support infrastructure for Northeast Ohio, and now they're going to be replicating that down here in Macon. We're doing, over the next 18 months, they're going to be rolling out programs to help entrepreneurs in the 8 counties surrounding Macon, and working to build new relationships with the universities around the area that are in those 8 counties to support new entrepreneurs, high-impact entrepreneurs, and fast-growing startups, whether they be ones that are already existing in the area or ones that start up here. So lots of good things happening for us with entrepreneurship.
Ricky, College Hill is going to be something for you to watch, I think. I think that's going to be interesting. And Melanie, something maybe for Tag to start talking to Mercer about maybe hooking into. It's a pretty innovative entrepreneurial program that I think is going to make a real difference down a little bit south of here.
Well, Mark, thank you for joining us, Mark. And again, look forward to meeting you at some point on my next trip to Macon. I love to visit Macon. A lot of great places to eat and a lot of good friends down there as well. I realized shortly after kind of creating an outline for this program today that I made a huge mistake. This is a two-hour show, or it should be a two-hour show today, and we've really only scratched the surface of some things I'd really like to dig into, but we are an hour show, and in the last 10, 12 minutes, I'm going to kind of open it up and do something we haven't done on Booth 61 quite yet. I'm going to let the guests ask questions of each other or me, make comments, whatever the case might be. I've got a couple of suggested questions, but then we'll just kind of play it by ear and kind of have a round robin. We won't throw chairs like they do on the gang talk shows on the major networks, but because we don't have a camera to record it, would it just be our word against one another? But,
sure.
But anyway, I guess I'll start off with Mallory and Mark, and you know, I throw in a little bit something.
Hey, Ricky,
too.
Did Donna ever join us? Doesn't
Donna,
sound like it.
I don't think she was able to. Donna Lowry was one of the participants in the tournament, and she is the education reporter for the WXIA Channel 11 here in Atlanta. And I was really nervous about competing with her if we had come up against one another, because she had a tremendous background and a lot of tweets from my dear friends at the Ron Clark Academy. So I'd already let Ron and Kim Bearden and Mahari Kasa know that, you know, they better vote two ways, or I was going to come down to South Side and talk to them about it. But anyway, let me, you know, focus on Mark and Mallory for half a second. Why did you decide to participate in the tournament? And just, you've kind of probably answered some of that already. But what did you do to earn your retweets for the tournament? Because each of us did little, you know, different things. And what did you do unique? And was there anybody that you thought, because I would assume that y'all probably paid as much attention to it as I did, which was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week until it was over. Was there anybody that you said, I can't believe they retweeted it, or I was surprised at that one, or I was tickled to death that we did those numbers, or anyway, kind of loosey-goosey, what did you do during your retweets, and kind of why were you in the contest? And Mallory, we'll start with you, and then we'll jump down to Mark.
Well,
or Justin could jump in as well.
Like you said, when we first started the tournament, we were just looking to have fun with it. We thought it was a great way to engage with our employees, to kind of get them active into the social media aspect. We also heard from clients and partners and just local businesses in Atlanta. So we just thought it was a fun way to kind of connect and a little friendly competition until Ricky blew us out of the water there at the end. But we didn't really have any special methods in terms of getting people to participate. We just kind of reached out word of mouth. I was kind of walking around bothering people maybe during their busy day, but everyone was really great about it. We thought it was fun, and we're already looking forward to next year, if you'll have us.
There were a lot of G-chat conversations going on and emails going out, and we started the morning, and we thought we had you in the bag, and then by the afternoon, you were doing alley-oops on us. So I think, as Mallory said, it's really exciting. And to Mike's point, you know, Twitter is just another tactic, another strategy, but really have to evaluate it into how does it support your business objectives. Mm-hmm. And I think this really does. You know, it was another way for us to showcase what Georgia is doing through this partnership with TAG to our customers, to our partners, to employees. And so it was a lot of fun, and I think this was such a better way to do things than a simple tweet with a link that TAG could have done that would have resulted in maybe five opens. This was really something different that got a lot of attention, and as Mallory said, it was a lot of fun.
And I think you'll do extremely well as a brand-new company, you know, kind of in Georgia, not brand-new, but in your first couple of years, and I just think y'all did a great job and executed very, very well. Mark, I know everybody that's ever lived in Macon, Georgia heard from you, and you got most of them to retweet for you. What else did you do down in Macon, GA, in addition to getting the Macon Convention Visitors Bureau on your team?
Well, yes, we did. We did go to the community well, that's for sure. I think it was a lot of what the AirWatch team was mentioning. I think we're just getting people excited. I think our students bought into it. And as Mike was saying, that's a big part of what this tournament was all about, is, you know, engaging the students who are interested in technology. We were certainly doing that with our students. It was also something that we were trying to get our employees engaged in, or some of our other, you know, associated accounts. You know, there's a lot of people that tweet here at Mercer, both in Atlanta and Macon, and so we were engaging them, you know, emails back and forth. I had my personal Twitter account going pretty hard with all of my friends from Macon, trying to encourage them to get out the retweets, as it were. And I think that part of what we were interested in is that, going back into it, was that we're in Atlanta, you know, and a lot of what our technology, so to speak, degree programs and, you know, interesting stories are down here in Macon. So being in front of an Atlanta audience with a lot of the things that we're doing down here was important to us. So it was partly about the retweets, but it was partly about the messages that we were putting out. And, you know, we talked about our prosthetics program that one of our engineering professors started, an entrepreneur or a leader in a startup company from our business school. He was from Atlanta, but the engineers based in Macon, and then also our Center for Collaborative Journalism, our entrepreneur in residence hire. So getting the word out about some of the things that they may or may not have heard about in Atlanta, since many of the people participating were in Atlanta. So that was a big part of what we were interested in achieving with it. So that was part of the push. So you heard from me a lot to get the retweets so that we could get into the next message.
Having spoken at Mercer a number of times at the campus here in Atlanta for the MBA program, I knew a little bit about Mercer, probably maybe more than the average person, but I promise you I did not know how many faculty you had, how many students you have, or how many alumnus you had, and I think probably a lot of people learned a lot during the process, so that was a lot of fun. I want to open up to Mike and Melanie now and to anyone on the panel. Did you learn anything new about our Georgia technology community in the process that you didn't know at the beginning of this contest? And it could have been out of the State of the Industry report or just something that you learned from reading the tweets. See, I didn't know. I knew that you had Mercer Press in Macon. I didn't know about the huge journalism school effort. So I learned something about you that I did not know before the tournament, and some of the others as well. But anyway, to the whole group, anybody have an insight or something that you said, gosh, I didn't know that was part of our fabric of our state?
Well, I didn't know that Ricky Steele was, you know, but a few heartbeats away from one of America's top celebrity divers who was tweeting on his behalf, the lovely Miss Alabama. So that was kind of a new thing to learn. Maybe not technology related, but Mercer put out some pretty beefy tweets, as you would expect an academic university to do. So that was great, and we were just overall thrilled. I mean, if you look down the list of the companies that we were able to get with TAG to participate this year, you know, obviously AirWatch, Juggernaut, First Data. Who knew that the Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle was interested in technology, and God bless him for being interested in technology. NCR, LexisNexis, the Georgia Regents University, Fiserv. I mean, these are big companies. These are companies with many of them with a B behind their revenue in billions of dollars. And to take some time to do this, I think shows that we've got a technology community which is rich at the bottom in a good way with entrepreneurs and ideas and students that have an energy going in the community, but also rich at the top in terms of really some large companies that can make big technology happen and can reach down to those small companies and use that innovative technology inside their enterprise. And that's, if you look at the research I know Melanie has in terms of what makes a cohort or a cluster work, that is what makes it work. You need to have the small entrepreneurs and the large companies connecting with each other to feed off each other. And I think that was a pretty exciting thing to see this year.
You know, we were just so happy to see all of our partners doing so well. I mean, on every level. Mercer, there was even some inside the tag office competition going on. I'll have to say Heather Miner is our director that handles our statewide expansion, and she was the one that helped Mercer come on board as one of our educational premier members, and she really wanted them to win, so she was rallying the troops internally. Ricky's got tons of friends inside the tag office, so they were going head-to-head. And again, with AirWatch, I mean, we've just been so pleased with I mean, they're a great company. They're growing. They're adding jobs. But they're creating buzz for Atlanta and Atlanta's mobility scene nationwide. I learned this morning at the Metro Atlanta Chamber meeting. Atlanta, with AirWatch's help, had the largest presence at the Mobility World Congress Center in Barcelona most recently, 18,000 square feet. And at that conference, Alan DeBerry and the AirWatch team were able to announce the largest Series A technology investment in history, we believe. We haven't found one larger, at $200 million. Atlanta doesn't usually make the news for venture capital investments on a positive side. So it goes beyond just their expansion. And they're really helping put Atlanta on the map in terms of mobility and being investment worthy, which is amazing. So we were just happy. And then, of course, Arketti, having it be so successful with the partnership with Arketti and all the great things that they've done to support TAG throughout the years. They help us with our branding. They help us with our logos. They've helped us look good on the map. So we were just pleased. Again, it was a success all around. And then, of course, Hunter is a great partner as well. So no downside for us.
Anyone else? Going once, going twice.
I think it was just surprising to see how connected the community was and some of the people who came out of the woodworks that you may not have expected, no one off the top of my mind. But it was just really interesting to see how competitive some of these companies could be in good spirit. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, my big, I guess, being competitive in nature, I received probably less than 4 hours sleep over the entire process of the tournament, and I normally keep anywhere from 50 to 60 emails in my inbox that I'm working on at some point or the other. I woke up on Saturday morning after our last contest with 690 in my inbox. I am down to 300 today, and that has been chipping away, so it has put me a little bit behind the gun, but then again, I made that choice when Mike was kind enough to invite me, and I wanted to get a little over the top with trying to win. But having some old friends come through, there's a lot of people that I don't even send that many emails to. You know, people that are – we all have friends that are really deep, deep close friends and friends that are great acquaintances and those that we wish that we – we're in their zip code or income level. And so I was sending them to everybody. And to have some of those people respond and retweet, I was getting some that I just thought, I don't imagine he's ever retweeted anything in his entire life. Mitch Free at MFG.com, when he retweeted, that was like I'd been given a Christmas present months early. That was a blessing to me. So it was fun. I've made a mistake, as I said earlier, not making this a two-hour show. And what I would like to do is invite everyone to come back, and we'll do there's enough technology and things going on at AirWatch. We could do a show just around AirWatch sitting at this table. I think we could do the same thing and get Mark up here and And then talk about things Mercer's doing in Macon, but also in Atlanta and Columbus and other places. So we'll make that a matter of something to do in the next couple of months. But I do want to say to each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being here, and thank you for being part of what – I was born in Crawford Long Hospital 60 years ago. I am Atlanta through and through. I grew up – I actually – in my – I don't have blood. I have orange from Varsity Orange runs through my veins. So I am a Georgia boy, and to see all of people coming into my state and doing great things is quite exciting. So thank each and every one of you for taking the time to be here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This is Ricky Steele, and I finished my cup of coffee in Booth 61, and I hope you'll join me back for a fresh cup next Wednesday. You can listen to this show starting sometime tomorrow, Thursday the 26th, I guess the 25th or 26th. But you can also listen to all the previous shows going to Booth 61 at Business Radio X. I always close each show trying to share a blessing for you, for your family, and your business. And the blessing I'm going to share comes from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for dropping by. Join us for our fresh cup next week in Booth 61.